ABC Radio Australia.
Well, a ban on the sale of machetes was announced here in the Australian state of Victoria in May, following a spate of high-profile criminal attacks. Seven people were injured during one incident at a Melbourne shopping mall on a Sunday afternoon. But the ban on machetes has had a disproportional effect on the Pacific Islands community, who rely on certain machete knives for cultural and personal use. Bolete Vau Te Omaiawa Amiai Malo is president of the United Pasifika Council of Victoria Incorporated, and he joins us this morning. Afio Mailo, Afionga Bolete Vau, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Talo Falava. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. Look, I know from September, Victorians are asked to basically hand in all their machete knives or face up to, looks like, $47,000 in fines or even 2 years jail time. I mean, what's this all going to mean for our Pacific Island community?
It's a great concern for the Pacific Island communities. I can speak specifically for the Samoan community. We have certain items that are categorized as machetes, important items, cultural items, such as the nifoti, which is a traditional Samoan knife that's been used as cultural significance items for special occasions, for cultural dances, events, special events, for birthdays, weddings, items like that, heirlooms. These are important items culturally for Samoans. I think, you know, it's going to be a very difficult process, not only to comprehend, but to hand over these important items. So it's of great concern. Not only that, but how does, you know, a community who practice, you know, safekeeping and respect for these items, and to be affected because of someone from another community or background has done the wrong thing and has affected us greatly for this. So it's a great concern. I don't know how our community will hand over these items. It's highly unlikely they would, because you know it holds a very special place in our culture and for families.
Well, and this is it, Bolete Vau. You know, you talk about you know, a group and their actions have now, you know, affected other communities. And I want to go to the fact that, you know, there is a crime problem in Victoria where machetes are being used in attacks. And I think we should acknowledge that issue. But you don't think a ban is the best way, right, of dealing with this problem? I mean, how do you think it could be better handled rather than through a ban?
I think there's, you know, there's opportunities for more education, more funding in, you know, services, youth services that deal with crime prevention programs for young people, educating them. We don't hear any Pacific Islanders using machetes. You know, these items are, you know, sacred to us. We don't abuse them. In our community, for some low-income earning families who can't afford lawnmowers and paying landscapers to come and, you know, clean their gardens, that, you know, the machete is a very, you know, important tool for doing gardening. They use it in the islands and they continue using it here. It's a cheap way to maintain the garden. Also, you know, with our cooking, you know, cutting up, you know, meat, fish, pork, you know, so it's used in, you know, daily, you know, practices for special occasions, you know, festive seasons and things like that. Again, you know, I can't totally agree on, you know, banning machetes. Again, you've got one particular age group that, you know, have misused it, you know, and it affects other people. You know, we're talking about youth here. And then, you know, the ban is on, you know, people that are of mature age, adults. that are not using misusing these things. So maybe it's something that could be, you know, something of an age limit, you know, to be used. We've applied for an exemption. Because other communities, you know, religious groups that carry around, you know, certain lives because they're, you know, religious items. For us, it's we want the same. So we're still waiting for a reply, you know, from the government. And we're very surprised with, you know, this, you know, short notice in terms of taking it off the shelves. So I'm busy with the
How did that affect our, you know, our Pacifica businesses or retailers here in Melbourne, you know, knowing that it was quite a swift, you know, shutdown on the sale of machetes?
I think the communication, I don't know if the government or, you know, the respective, you know, government departments have communicated this well to our community. Definitely the community groups or the shops, the shop owners from the Pacific Island communities weren't aware of it. You know, so I had to call them specifically and say, are you aware of this? Can you take off these cultural items that are categorized as machetes? Even though, you know, our cultural items, they are blunt, they're not sharpened. They're just, you know, a blunt type of knife that are only used for ceremonies and dances and for photo, you know, opportunities for events.
Do you think that they will...
They were surprised. They were upset. They said, if we take it off our shelves, who's going to pay for this? How are we going to get our money back from it? Some of these items, you know, cost up to $240, $50 each. So it's their income. It's their way of, you know, so they're still waiting in the dark, you know, to be told whether they're going to get compensated for these items. And I said, look, for the moment, just take it off the shelf and we'll wait for the next directive.
Yeah. I would love to know, Polita Val, you know, by September, people will have to, you know, get exemptions, as you say, you have already applied to own machetes. Do you think that our Pacific community members will actually go out of their way to actually get those exemptions? And the reason I only ask that is because what happens several years down the line if they get pulled up for owning machetes without an exemption? I mean, again, they could possibly face jail time. Do you think they're going to take this seriously?
I think this is the responsibility for the community leaders to, you know, make a stand for our people at this time and wait for, you know, whatever the response of the government, our local state. If the response is, you know, there is no exemption, I guess we're going to have to you know, accept that and find a way to bring the community together in a consultation or a forum, a space where the government could come and, you know, speak to the community and say these are the reasons, even though, you know, our people are not a people just of, you know, talking on the phone or on a Zoom or online, but we're people of face-to-face. So I will expect that the government will come and speak to our communities face to face in this decision. And we're just going to have to follow the law of the land. It's going to hurt us, but, you know, it's something that, you know, we have to accept.
Yeah, definitely a personal thing, of course, for our Pacific community, especially our Samoan communities, knowing that they use a nifuati all the time, you know, with our cultural and personal use. Polita Val, sorry, that is all the time that we have for this morning. I know this discussion will continue, but it's just, I really appreciate Whaftaitele Lava for being on our show this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity, Whaftaitele Lava.
No worries. That, of course, is Polita Val Te Omaiava Amiai Malo, President of the United Pacifica Council of Victoria Incorporated.